Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study in Luke chapter 20, verses 20 through 26, titled, Paying Taxes, Render Unto Caesar. The conclusion of this two-part study and other free materials, as well as our contact and donation information, can be found at that website, BBFOhio.com, as we now begin with a current events update, and then our study in Luke 20, verses 20 through 26, again titled, Taxes, Render Unto Caesar. This is part one of two.
Our current events update. Let them eat bugs. Get used to it. This is to keep you current. And if you're going to be current, you're going to have to get used to seeing people trying to convince you to eat bugs. For real. The elite, they'll put on a show. Sometimes they'll eat fake bugs. They'll probably be gummy worms or something like that.
I'll eat those.
Just like with the COVID shot, I believe a lot of them never did get the shot. And I believe the same thing's happened with the bugs. They're going to pretend to eat bugs. But in this case, I think this lady really is eating bugs. Her name is Nicole Kidman.
I am here to reveal my hidden talent, eating micro livestock. Cornworms, they're still alive. Extraordinary.
Now, two things there. You noticed she didn't call them bugs. They're micro livestock. See, that's how these leftists and globalists are like Satan. They abuse the language. Satan, go back to Genesis 3, Matthew 4, Luke 4, Satan perverts the language. And that's and we were warned about it in 1984 by George Orwell. And sadly, the leftists and globalists think that that was a blueprint. But she goes on. Oh, let me. Sorry, I jumped too. Hit the button.
Very moist, chewy. Can't quite describe the flavor, but need a little water. Let's try the second glass, shall we? Just a little side note. 2 billion people in the world eat bugs, and I'm one of them. Because here we go. Have some mealworms. I'm telling you, I'd win Survivor. That is a fruity taste. I'd recommend it. Here we have. Oh!
Can you imagine eating those? And look, it's like, this is so good.
Like nothing better than this.
Is she a frog?
But you know why they're doing this? Because that's how stupid people are.
Oh my God. And not from the shell.
People will do this. Just get used to it. It's going to be the end thing now. You'll probably go to the county fair and the state fair and Kings Island and Cedar Point and places like that, and that'll be one of the stands, or there'll be several throughout the park. Over here you can get your fried grasshoppers, and over here you can get your squiggly worms, but it'll be micro livestock, and you can virtue signal, take a picture of yourself, eating it, put it on social media, because you're saving the world. The World Economic Forum is behind a lot of this, and that's the WEF, the people behind the Great Reset. To fully understand, this is from The Vigilant Citizen. That's an online source that is better than your mainstream news media. To fully understand why the elite wants us to eat bugs, we must first wrap our heads around one important fact. They're looking to redefine what it means to be a human on Earth. They believe that we have too many freedoms and that we consume too many resources. They're also getting rid of things like family. Now two men, two women, and two and three and four and animals involved and everything are going to be family. They are trying to get rid of the male and female created he them. But they're trying to get rid of that and say that they're how many, 75 or something like that, genders. And whatever you are doesn't matter. It's how you feel or what do you want to identify as. You know, all that is behind all that is being pushed by globalists, leftists, progressives. This is an advertisement. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. See, I've said this many, many a times over the years. They don't want to lift the rest of the world up. They want to bring middle class America and middle class wherever it exists around the world down.
And then leave the elites in their own little elite group.
That's why Joe Biden and the Democrat administration right now is purposely causing you to pay twice what you should be paying for gasoline, and twice what you pay for electricity, and twice what you pay for any of your groceries. Why? So that they can bring you down. This is by design. It's not accident. They're not that stupid. They know that what they're going to do is hurting you. They're doing it on purpose. And by the way, you wonder why the mainstream progressive type Republicans hated Donald Trump? It's because they are no different. And he got in their way when he had the independent energy policy and allowed the Keystone Pipeline and other pipelines to bring in natural gas. And listen, if I'm talking to anybody in here who is against the use of fossil fuels, you are a practical Satanist. If you do not believe that we should be using fossil fuels, you're anti-Bible and anti-God. We always have to put in the disclaimer. Yes, we believe we should be good stewards. We believe we should not pollute. We believe that we should use wisdom. We believe that we should and utilize other sources, including the sun. But to say that you're against fossil fuels, you're telling me that you are a follower of Satan and not of God. And you say, well, that's a little rash and extreme. You won't think so if your bills keep going up and you start having trouble paying your bills, putting a roof over the heads of your family and feeding your family. That's when the Satanism will start to look real.
Yep.
Sadly, it takes that before a lot of people wake up. You will own nothing and you'll be happy. That's what they're after. And that's why in public schools they don't teach kids how to balance a checkbook. They don't teach kids what they need to make in income in order to have a certain level of lifestyle. They don't teach the kids that it's better to buy a house and have some equity than to just rent your whole life and so forth and so on, because they want people to be renting everything, renting your house, renting your car, renting your furniture. They want you to own nothing and still be happy because you're totally clueless about the fact that you're a slave.
That's right.
Psychologists say a good life doesn't have to be happy or even meaningful. They've got the majority of people in this country relying on psychotherapists, psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors of every sort, rather than God's Word. And a lot of my time as a pastor is trying to wean people off of that secular, worldly, anti-God agenda and back to the Word of God. It's the reality now. That's ministry. It's going to be that way. And I always have to, put the disclaimer in there. There are some people who need special help and all that kind of thing, but not nearly the number that are actually being put into those situations. How many people need a certain psych med? There are some people who need that, but nowhere near the number of people who are on it. But it serves their purpose, and that's why they're pushing it. And also the love of money, because they're making billions off of it. If they can get you on dope, and it's called a maintenance drug, you might as well call yourself an addict. You're hooked. You're going to be paying that bill. You say, well, my insurance pays it. You're paying the premium, and the insurance company's the middleman, but you're still paying for it. You're not making as much money as you could because of insurance costs. You're paying for it. Your paycheck isn't as big as it could be because of insurance costs. So it's like anybody who thinks what the government gives out is free. No, they're taking it out of us, and then they redistribute the wealth. It's Marxism. Marxism. In short, they see us as cattle. Other than restricting every aspect of our lives, they also want us to consume much fewer resources. This is where the bug agenda comes in. The reason I started out with the bug eating agenda is because it's just in your face the reality. They want you to live like the uncivilized tribes down in South America or Africa or in the sticks of Siberia or wherever. They're trying to bring our quality of life down. Not theirs.
Yep.
They will still live like kings. Just like all these hypocrites who go around lecturing you about carbon footprint as they get on and off their jets.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
That's the model right there. You're seeing reality. That's what's coming. It's already in a lot of countries, and it's becoming more and more prevalent in the United States of America.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Using buzzwords such as sustainability, the global elite is defining what is a responsible diet while increasingly shaming those who eat meat. The propaganda is now pervasive and unrelenting.
So this one is from BuzzFeed News. Why bugs are the high protein and fiber rich food you should be eating.
I will eat bugs when Bill Gates eats bugs.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'll eat bugs when I won't then either. Bill can, but I get the point. She makes a good point. But that's that. That these ladies are mocking and made fun of. Their Rebel News, I believe, is out of Canada. And that's going on in Canada. They're teaching the kids. Children are being targeted with materials like this in their schools. You get a bunch of kids in school, and especially when you can get the cool kids to say, this is cool, this is cool. Well, suddenly, oh, cuckoo. Yeah, I've said that for a year. If any of these guys now, whoever the popular, I don't know who they are. But if they were to walk around with pencils hanging out of their ears or pencils hanging out of their nose, all the kids would start doing it. That's the definition of sheeple. And we are there. I mean, this is in a classroom. They've handed out little baggies of bugs.
There's this company right here in Manitoba. They're called Prairie Cricket Farms. And what they do is they farm crickets and they put them in nice little bags.
Nice little bags.
And eat them.
Now look, they're looking around and they're seeing all the other kids are enjoying it. Leah's face, they taste good. See, this is what happens when the government controls your children. They take them all into a room and they can program them. Not only are they good, but you get a frisbee. That's going on all over the world, all over the country, and the parents don't even know it unless the kids go home and say, you won't believe what he ate, what I ate today. Oh, yeah, what? Cockroaches. And they were tasty, like popcorn. Yeah. Yeah, some of the kids are already eating those at home. But they put out these kind of charts where they show how much healthier it is for you and for planet or Mother Earth, for the environment, if you eat an insect instead of a chicken, a pig, or a cow. And then they hand out these kind of flyers. 10 reasons you should eat bugs. Now, think about this. This is the 10 reasons. I'm not going to go through all 10, but
wow.
Number one, lots of kids are eating bugs. Just what we just saw. If you can convince them it's cool and everybody's doing it.
That's the number one reason.
That's what it is. Number one reason is because everybody's doing it. Number two, this is a reason to eat bugs because you can educate others. Think of how mindless this is.
Yes.
Number three, they're tasty. Well, you know what? You can pretty much dip anything in chocolate or peanut butter and it's going to taste good. You know. Number four, bugs can't make us sick like meat can. The meat is evil. Look on the bus. If you can see that, the license tag says, eat bugs. Number five, they don't have to look like bugs. When bugs are made into flour, we can't even see them. Let's eat cockroach pancakes. Yay! Folks, this is the world you're living in. And you're going to see this more and more. And it's all the billionaire elitist globalists who are behind the Great Reset. They want to bring you down. They're not going to go out and take the people who are eating bugs because they have to and elevate their standard of living. What they're going to do is make you one of them.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're still going to live their standard. That's what's happening. And then they're going to require you to take a mark in order to buy, sell, or trade. That's coming after the rapture. All right, Luke 20. We're going to pick up verse 20 where we actually studied our text last week. But for context, we're going to start there in verse 20 again through verse 26. Titling this message, Paying Taxes, Render Unto Caesar. So we're going to have a real holy roller time today. We run the aisles, I'm sure. We begin with verse 20, as I said, for context. So let's read the even verses all the way through verse 26. Beginning in verse 20, read with me. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar, or no? But he perceived their craftiness, and said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Show me a penny, whose image and superscription hath it. They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people. And they marveled at his answer and held their peace. Amen?
Amen.
So as we began there, verse 20, someone this week said, you know, it's funny, I'd read that verse before, and I thought it was just saying that they feigned themselves just men, like they were pretending to just be the regular average Joe. So I hope you listened last week and got the meaning of that text. It's they were pretending to be just men. Not just men, but just as in being decent, righteous, godly, not just in that sense. If you missed it, go back and listen to that message from last week. So we have the setting, and now we see the conspiracy play out. I mentioned last week where it says in verse 20 that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. I mentioned we would come to that in our following study, and we are now there. Verse 21, and they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. And that is just insincere flattery. They don't mean it. Which is why in a couple of verses, Jesus, it says he perceived their craftiness. Beware when men bow down before you. They may just be bending over to grab the rug and pull it out from underneath you. The Bible does not speak well of flattery. Now, if you are sincere and you tell somebody and you really mean it, that you appreciate them, or, you know, like, man, Charlie, you've got great hair. Or, you know, Olivia, you have the most beautiful babies. They look just like you. I'm just kidding. But, you know, you go up to people and you tell them, I've told some of you that I appreciate things you've done around here. Some of you have told me those things, and there's nothing wrong with that. We should encourage one another. You know, tell somebody you think that they're, you know, doing good, and let them know you appreciate it. That's not what we're talking about here. These people are liars. They don't mean what they're saying. And that's happened to me a lot in the ministry. As a matter of fact, some of the most vicious attacks that I've ever had on me personally have come from people who started out saying, you are so great. I just think you're the best teacher since the Apostle Paul. I think you're just, and they'll just talk. And I'm thinking, you know, when I was in my 20s, people would come up and compliment me like that. And my early 20s. And I'd think, well, okay. I'll take your word for it. But then they kept turning on me. And as soon as I turned my back, it seemed like I'd get a dagger. So then by my later 20s, I started to become a little suspicious of people like that. I walked into church. I was going to preach in. The woman looks and says, "You must be the preacher." And I said, "Oh, yeah. Why do you say that?" She goes, "Because there's a glow about you." And I said, "Well, it's because the sun's hitting my head." That happens to bald guys. I just blew it off, you know. And I just stopped taking that kind of flattery seriously. Now, when I feel like someone's being sincere and everything, I don't make fun of them. You know, thank you, I appreciate it. And that's something, learn to take a compliment. Don't be too spiritual to take a compliment. But if you think that people are serious, just say thank you. Some people make it really awkward. You know, "Oh, thanks for doing that." "Oh, it wasn't me. God created me, gave me every bit of the ability I have. You should only thank him. Don't thank me." Okay, I'll never thank you again. You know, don't make it awkward. Deal with people in a way that doesn't put them in a bad situation. You know, even if these guys, you can deal with it tactfully. So anyway, scripture with scripture. King David recognized this mark of deception in his own enemies. Go over to Psalm 5. Let's look at this. And it's funny because, like in this circumstance here, we're seeing Jesus. He's dealing with these people, and we're going to see that all the Word of God was in him. He was in possession of all this wisdom that we look at back in the Old Testament, for example. We're going to read this. We need to learn this from God's Word. Jesus knew this. He is the Word. Psalm 5, verses 8 and 9. Look, it says in verse 8, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face." Read verse 9 with me. "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue." See? Just because someone's telling you something you like to hear, don't just be gullible and think that that person really likes you. I mean, there are a lot of people who know how to use flattery. And how many times you've seen it in a TV show where there's this old guy, he's my age or older, but he's got a lot of money. And then here comes this beautiful young 20-something. And she starts telling him, "Oh, how handsome. You're just so dapper. You're just..." And in her mind, she's thinking, "Money, money, money, money." That's a... For some of you may not know, that's a song. But anyway... I've known a couple of people who, really, that was why a younger thing married them. But we see it in TV shows a lot because it happens a lot among the stars in Hollywood. And they flatter. And the gullible old guy just falls for it, goes along with it. Of course, it's happening more to women now because more women are getting into wealth. And then... what do they call them? Cougars? You know? Well, if you're a cougar with money, these days you better be careful, because if he gets you into a marriage and then he lives off your income for about 6 months, he can lay claim to that in alimony. It's happening. So flatteries will be a defining characteristic of the Antichrist. It's, I'll just read it. Daniel 11:21, "And in his estate shall stand up a vile person." If you haven't followed along, we have a study on this text. "To whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably." Remember that? Saying peace and safety. "And obtain the kingdom by what?"
Flatteries.
You know, someone who teaches, says things that... just tells you what you want to hear so that you elect them. That's an example of that. So, after thinking, they've set the table. You see nothing? The Pharisees now lay the trap. Look at verse 22. This is their trap. "Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no?" See, what they think they're going to get him doing is being a traitor to his country by saying, you know, yes, Caesar is our king, so we must give. And the attitude of the Jew was they didn't respect him as king, although they submitted to him as a ruler. But they were very anti-government in that time and anti-Caesar. And one of the reasons is because they worshipped him like a god. They would burn incense in his honor and offer sacrifices in his honor and all that sort of thing. But Jesus wasn't fooled by their flattery or by their deception. And they did not realize that they were dealing with the omniscient God in human form. Jesus is not 50-50. Jesus isn't just a man. Jesus was 100% man, 100% God.